Okay. All right. So, Council for the Church, chapter 15, page 98, the title of the chapter, The Holy Spirit. And it says, it is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people miss that one. You don't seem to realize, I never realized this even as a young Christian, or even as a seasoned one, until maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago, because I've been, you know, walking with the Lord for a little over 30 years, until I really started digging into the prophecies. I mean, I've always done it even as a kid, but I really didn't understand what I was doing until I got out of the Catholic, you know, the Catholic Church. And then later on, I started keeping Sabbath, and the Lord even opened it up even more for me. And but the hastening of the coming of the Lord. One of the reasons he's tarrying, one of the reasons he hasn't come yet is because we are not ready. But eventually, and this is where this can get a little sobering for some people that like to drag their feet. Eventually, the censer's going to drop. Eventually, the angel with the inkhorn and his sign is going to realize, okay, you just aren't serious. Sorry, but goodbye forever. And then, you know, he goes and tells the Lord that you were the last person on earth that made the decision not to follow, and now probation is closed, right? On all people, not just the churches, because probation is closed on all the Protestant churches, and that includes the Ninth Hour Seventh-day Adventist Church. We don't know when it closed on the SDA Church. I mean, was it really ever open on the Sunday Keepers? Well, yeah, to some extent, because the Lord winks. But now it's gotten overwhelmingly apparent ever since the Seventh-day Adventist Church was formed and the truth went out so boldly in the 1800s that a lot of people rejected the truth as it was presented. And so for them, their probation, you know, ended on, you know, a individual basis. But that still happens to this day. I mean, you got reprobates everywhere. But eventually there'll only be two classes of people left, those who are definitely headed to heaven and those who are definitely headed to hell. And in God's eyes, that's always the case. But in our eyes, we really can't tell either way. But to hasten the coming of the Lord, the more work we do, the quicker he's going to get back. And it's kind of a bittersweet thing if you think about it, because a lot of us think, yeah, we know what we're looking at. We really don't know point blank how bad it's going to get, but it's going to get bad. I mean, just like when you think about what the Muslims are doing to the Christians all around the world, and how Christianity has become the weakest it's ever been in a so-called Christian nation, the United States of America. And then you also see how we are treated like third-class citizens here in America. I mean, our faith doesn't matter in the least. When you think about it, in a government-controlled, and this is a United States government-controlled, a United States supposedly Christian nation government-controlled school system, it is illegal to talk about Jesus, but it's perfectly legal to share the benefits of Islam. And I know some of you may be a little shocked at hearing that, but on my Homeschool Spurs page, I've got, and it's been happening a lot more lately, as a matter of fact, the most recent one, I had an article, a video, where a dad was all upset because his son failed a test, I think, because he refused to answer the questions on the test about the seven pillars of Islam. And yeah, they might be able to, you know, throw it out there on one hand and say, oh, it's just a political thing, it's not a religion. Well, yeah, that's the same thing as Catholicism, because it's church and state mixed together. But how is that okay? In other words, evil has become good and good has become evil. It's perfectly acceptable to talk about abortion, homosexuality, Islam, rock and roll music, premarital sex, even the big M sex, you know, like for with yourself thing. I couldn't believe some of the stuff that was coming out there. And even in the Catholic Church, there was a couple of parents years ago, and I put it on my old-fashioned quickie page, my Roman Catholic quickie articles. That's when I first started the site. I left that page on just for the sake of leaving it there because it was so huge and all these weird articles about the Catholic Church. But these two parents were thrown behind bars because they wouldn't get off the front lawn because they were of a Catholic school because they were protesting that the church was teaching the children to go home and do things to themselves, literally, in the sexual realm, to themselves. No one else was to be involved, and this was part of the lesson plan. And And now this happens in a lot of schools. I mean, it's constantly being mentioned at least once or twice a year. You'll hear about it in some schools. So they're not giving up. Sure, you might not hear about this again in Tennessee, like if it happens in Tennessee. Oh, they'll clam up for a few years there, but all of a sudden it shows up in Texas, or all of a sudden, because it's all controlled by one government. So they can pepper it any way they want. You know, okay, we're getting a little bit of a hard time here in the Bible Belt. Let's go a little north, or let's go a little south, whatever. They're just going to do what they're going to do. So we got to hasten the coming of the Lord, though. We're the only ones that can do it. The wicked are going to die no matter what we do. And no matter what the Lord does. I mean, look at Judas. And so, but we can. So she goes on to say that we all who profess his name, bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Well, no, she goes, we're all who profess his name, bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. In other words, if we were to actually do it and do it on a regular basis. Quickly, the last harvest would be ripened, and Christ would come to gather the precious grain. My brethren and sisters, plead for the Holy Spirit. God stands back of every promise he has made. With your Bibles in your hands, say, I have done as thou hast said. I present thy promise. Now, this is good. With Bibles in hands, okay, because he wrote it. You can just stand there like let's say you're in the proverbial throne room in a courtroom of heaven, and I have done as thou hast said, I present thy promise. You know, you open up his Bible and present it to him and say, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, and knock and it'll be open unto you. And here's another thing the Lord revealed to me recently. Let's say that you've got an issue in your life and it's difficult. You're having a real hard time, you know, hopping over this hurdle. You fast, and everything's good for a couple, 3 months. And then, whoops, you're back in that area again. And it's sinful. And you repent, and praise God, 1 John 1:9 is solid as a rock, because the rock is Christ, and you are forgiven. But you still feel, you know, like you're not able to get past this hurdle. So you might fast again, and you might, you know, pray, of course, and do the best you can, and do a little extra credit work for the Lord, you know. And then, boom, you end up falling down there again. Because, you know, like, you know, being a pastor, I get a lot of calls and a lot of emails and stuff like that. And that kind of stuff, you know, like when it comes to helping the brethren in their issues, unless, of course, like with women, it's preferable for women to help women, men to help men, kind of a thing. And that's why a lot of times I'll send certain requests to my wife, or, you know, and she'll ask other women in the church to help her out in regards to women's issues. But with the men, you know, it's, you know, I can more or less handle it. Otherwise, ask brothers to help me. But you might want to try this. And this will give you, I don't know, it's a real faith booster if you ask me. Because, you know, pray every hour on the hour. Like, stop what you're doing. Kind of, like, let's just say, you're at work, you get a break every hour. Let's say they give you a 5 minute break every hour. Well, if that's the case, if I got a break every hour, I would make it a point to get into the bathroom, get on my knees behind a locked door, and say, Father, I'm serious. I know I have an issue in this area. I need your help. And I'm going to constantly get before him and present his promise. Ask and ye shall receive, right? And just keep bringing it. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Remember what Jesus said about the unjust king? He says, well, I'm sick of hearing this lady, so I'm going to grant her request. Well, it's the same thing with us. We constantly go to the Father, and he will help you in those really tough areas. So present his promise to him. And she goes, Christ declares, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, we all know what that entails, right? You can't ask in his name if you're purposely doing things that he wouldn't do. So whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And that's Matthew 7, verse 7, Mark 11, 24, and John 14, 13. And then she says, Christ dispatches his messengers to every part of his dominion to communicate his will to his servants. He walks in the midst of his churches. We saw that in Revelation, right? In the candlesticks. He desires to sanctify, elevate, and ennoble his followers. The influence of those who believe in him will be in the world a savor of life unto life. Christ holds the stars in his right hand, and it is his purpose to let his light shine forth through them to the world. Thus he desires to prepare his people for higher service in the church above. He has given us a great work to do. Let us do it faithfully. Let us show forth in our lives what divine grace can do for humanity. And it'll work. It has to work because it's prophesied the work. This is how it works. And he's going to come once we get ready. And again, the thing that I was talking about earlier about it getting a little bit sobering for some people, he's not going to give up on you, but you may be judged as one who has given up on him. If you keep having an issue jumping over a certain hurdle, like, for example, let's just say you know you got an issue in that area and you go ahead and go towards that area anyway without even trying and then just, I'm just going to repent afterwards. 1 John 1:9, he's merciful, he'll forgive me. Eventually you're not going to be able to hear his voice at all, and then the repentance will be gone. And then all of a sudden you'll see the eastern sky split, and you know, maybe, you know, if you're blessed with the opportunity to see that seventh plague destroy you, you know, right before it blasts you out of existence, you'll actually see Jesus in the sky. But he's coming, and eventually people are either going to be found judged worthy or judged wanting. So anyway, this next section is titled Unity Must Precede the Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm wondering, let me ask you this, which is the volume of the mic? Because I wonder if I should switch the way this thing works, because it has like a mixer built into it where I can pull on both sides of it for the stereo end of things. Because I notice sometimes if I talk in this direction, does the volume go down when I'm over here? Does it seem like it goes down, then it kind of comes up here, and then it kind of goes down like that? Does it seem like it goes up and down when I'm doing this? It sounds like it in my headset. Somewhat. It's not real bad. Because, I think it's on. Like, if I point my... you can't get right on the mic there. Okay, so it's not that bad. All right, yeah, then I must have it set up good. Because I know there's a way that this microphone will point directly at you, like a shotgun mic. And if you move to the left or right a little bit, it just ain't going to pick up your voice. So I put it on stereo mix, or not the computer stereo mix, but the stereo mix, like for a mixer. Because that way, when I talk, I have a tendency to move my head around, you know, my hands, everything, and so. Because I notice it goes up and down in my headset. And Fran mentioned earlier that my volume has a tendency to change. And that might be because this mic is dying. It's the second time it's one of those big blues, the big blue mics. I have an old one that's right behind me that died, but just on the left side it died. It still works on the right side, but that's useless. It'd be one thing if it was mono, you know, where you can go straight forward, but if it's just pulling off of one side and someone turns on their computer and listens to your voice, they're only hearing you out of one speaker. I'd rather have them hear them out of two, whether it's stereo or not. Because mono, you know, like when you go through the center, it'll show up through two. But stereo kind of like has one fade out. That way you get that stereo thing that messes with your ears, makes it sound better. Anyway, next section is titled, Unity Must Precede the Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You think that is why we're having some issues? Well, we haven't had any big issues lately that I know about. I know there is some stuff going on behind some of the closed doors of the brethren lately, and praise God, others in the church are dealing with it, because that's part of the duty of being a church body. And I like the way that, I think it was Brother Darren was explaining the broken body. Was he the one that brought up the broken body thing? That's a good analogy, because like when you look at the SDA church, half the church says, yeah, it was Darren, okay. Yeah, because there's dozens and dozens of SDA churches out there saying that Sunday is the Sabbath now. And there's some general conference president saying it's no big deal, and I made a video about that one. That's literally a broken body, and that doesn't glorify Christ. But this thing here with the unity, this is one of the reasons the latter rain hasn't fallen on us anyway as a number, as far as I can see, is because of the disunity sometimes that proceeds from the church. And it's just the devil's way. See, this is one of the reasons we've been saying this since 2004, actually. Well, actually before then. But 2004, we had our very own server in-house with our very own chat room software. It was 2004. Before that, we used co-located or public servers. We like FireTalk, Yahoo Messenger, stuff like that. And so we always had issues there, but the overwhelming majority of that was just Roman Catholics and SDAs coming in to try to disrupt the service. But after we got our own server, people in our own number would come in after a while and disrupt the service. And now you're going to find out why. Again, the title is Unity Must Precede the Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, keep this in mind, especially for those people that have are still friends. Now, I don't know who they are. Okay, just like when Peter asked people to leave before he prayed for Dorcas, or when Jesus asked people to leave before he prayed for that little maiden that he was going to raise from the dead, there's a reason that negative people are asked to leave when certain prayers are offered. Okay, because it's not going to be so effective when the demons are allowed to be in the room. And yes, they're in there. Whether they're possessed or oppressed, they're going to be there because that negative person's allowing them permission to be there. This is why they're asked to leave. And so, unity must precede the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. She says, notice that it was after the disciples had come into perfect unity when they were no longer striving for the highest place. Because, like, remember that? Now, this is something we noticed a few years ago, though. You know, it's my way or the highway thing. Remember that? That happened more than once. Do it my way or it's the highway. And it was in all three cases, in fact, that I can remember just off the top of my head, it was dress reform. All right? So, and that doesn't have to be the highest place in regards to pastoral duty or anything like that. It's just the highest place could be, it's my way or the highway. That way, they're on the pinnacle. And they could place themselves on that pinnacle without even being a pastor or a deacon or anybody or even an elder. So, when they were no longer striving for the highest place, that the Spirit was poured out. They were of one accord. All differences had been put away. And the testimony born of them after the Spirit had been given is the same. Mark the word. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. That's the perfect bride. You know, there is no broken body here. It can't be. And that's why, now we can't read hearts. Okay, we don't have that ability. But Christ does, as does his Holy Spirit. And of course, his Father. And so, it's eventually going to come to a day where there's going to be a good sized number of people in here that are of one accord. And that latter rain will fall. But those people that stay connected with those that have left, for whatever reason, you know, that friend thing, I can't give up my friends. Well, then throw Jesus under the bus because that's what you're doing. That's why I try to explain to some people that left us many, many years ago when that big to-do went down. I said, you got to understand here, you got to have Christ first. You know you have admitted this person's in sin and you're going to follow them because they're your friend. You have become ashamed of Christ now, and he shall be ashamed of you. If you can't do it in that little test, how are you going to handle it when they're on your front lawn with a gun in your face? Either the bullet's going to leave the chamber and then exit out the back of your head, or that gun's going to misfire because of the faith you carry in your heart. She says, the spirit of him who died that sinners might live animated the entire congregation of believers. The disciples did not ask for a blessing for themselves. They were weighted with the burden of the souls. The gospel was to be carried to the ends of the earth, and they claimed the endowment of the power that Christ had promised. Oh, if I could find that quote again, Where was it? I know it's in my tablet, because this helped a brother in a faith. Let me just light this thing up and see if it'll pop up. Anyway, it says, going on, it says, let me backtrack a little bit. The gospel was to be carried to the ends of the earth, and they claimed the endowment of power that Christ had promised. I love that. And it's not power, political power. All right? I mean, everything from discernment to prophetic utterance to laying hands on people to heal them, spiritually or physically, or both. I mean, heavenly power is not earthly in any way, shape, or form. She says, then it was that the Holy Spirit was poured out and thousands were converted in a day. That's power. So it may be now. Let Christians put away all dissension and give themselves to God for the saving of the lost. Now think about this. How are you going to put away dissension when you're hanging around with the guy that makes the whole bunch of apples bad? I remember that when my sales days, they used to say, stay away from that guy. And I says, why? He seems like a good Joe. You know, everything's cool. He says, no. His sales are plummeting, and he's ragging about the company. That's all he does is he sits there and talks about how bad the company is. And it was true. I never saw it because I was a young man. It's my first time in some big to-do kind of like office, like it was Prudential, I think, or John Hancock, one of the two. And I'm walking, and there's, you know, you got a bunch of agents. I'm one of them. And I noticed, there was a clique that I would hang with that were pretty fair. You know, they're good with the sales. And there were these old guys that were just knocking them out left and right out of the park, mostly ready to retire kind of guys. I mean, they had it down to a science. They've been doing it their whole life, and they all die young because selling insurance will kill you. It literally, the stress is unbelievable the way they make you. That's why I still had bad dreams for decades after that. You know, you got to go in and report. You got to go in and report. Boy, they would lay into you if you didn't have anything on the table. But when you don't have something on the table, you start blaming the company. And it's really, it really is infectious. And so if you hang with those kind of people, you're going to become like one of them. By beholding, you become changed even there, Christian or not. And this is why we have been saying, since we got our own servers in 2004, when someone leaves our number in a bad way, and they usually do leave with either open sin or hidden sin and running out of here before the Matthew 18 thing can be administered. We only had the opportunity to do it officially once. We did it once before, but it wasn't real because the guy wasn't even a member. But just for the sake of trying to help a young man, we tried it. But you know, sometimes, and this is how it was able to fester, and this is what she's talking about here too in a way. If you don't remove yourselves so that they may become ashamed, you will then be ashamed. You will eventually, in other words, like when the prayer's offered, you're going to have to leave the room. And it won't be because any of us can read your hearts and ask you to. You're just going to, the Holy Spirit's going to move you out of that room somehow, some way. Your car's going to break down or you're going to get sick or somehow, some way you ain't going to make it to that convocation or that gathering or whatever we're doing. He's going to make sure you're not there. Or even if you do make it there, somehow, some way you're going to be, you know, nowhere near when something good goes down. So let Christians put away all dissension and give themselves to God for the saving of the lost. And you can't put away dissension if you're hanging with somebody that lives in dissension and loves to speak of dissension and slams us every chance they get. And you're constantly defending us because eventually the defense is just going to break down because you're already in disobedience. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Either he's telling the truth or he's lying. And we know he don't lie. So she says, let them ask in faith for the promised blessing, and it will come. The outpouring of the Spirit in the last days, the outpouring of the Spirit in the last days of the apostles was the former rain. And glorious was the result, but the latter rain will be more abundant. What is the promise to those living in these last days? Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. Remember when Elijah asked Elijah for the double blessing? He got it. Why wouldn't we? Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. To everyone, grass in the field. Look up grass in Scripture. You know, just people. And that's, of course, Zechariah chapter 9, verses 12, and then chapter 10, verse 1. Now, let me see if I could find this quote that blessed my heart the other day, and it helped a brother. Boy, tell these virus programs, they always love to advertise. Okay, where is it? Ellen White. Let me go to... Yeah, where was I? Nope, one there. Maybe it was a Desire of Ages. I'm looking for power. The word power. And I even highlighted it in yellow and green so that it would stand out. Man, I've read that much in a week. I'm still... Oh, boy. Okay, maybe it's not there. Maybe I'll go into this one here. There it is. All right, check this out. Let me backtrack. Oh, now I remember who this helped. Okay. No names are going to be mentioned, of course. It says, it will require a sacrifice to give yourself to God. Now, where is this here? The spirituality of the law. This is from Mounts of Blessing. Okay? Chapter 3, The Spirituality of the Law is the title. Page number, who knows, until I copy and paste. For some reason, this software doesn't pull up the page numbers right off. But it says, it will require a sacrifice to give yourself to God, but it is a sacrifice of the lower for the higher. Kind of mention that every time we have communion, remember? So the earthly for the spiritual, the perishable for the eternal, right? And then she says, God does not design that our will should be destroyed. In other words, he didn't create robots, right? For it is only through its exercise that we can accomplish that he would have us do. Our will is to be yielded to him, that we may receive it again, purified and refined. You know, like the talents, how you just keep getting better and better. And then she says, and so linked in sympathy with the divine, capital D, that he can pour through us the tides of his love and power. That's the part I highlighted. However bitter and painful this surrender may appear to the willful, wayward heart, yet it is profitable for thee. So obedience in all aspects of just the word obedience is so important for us, brothers and sisters, because when you think about the, maybe it's because of what Fran and I went through that it's a little easier for us to see this clearer. I used to be one of 11 kids. She was one of six. I was literally disowned. Her family could care less either way. I mean, even though they were Catholic too, it wasn't the same way. My family was considered tight, but boy, you talk about dysfunctional, you know, and then all my friends and stuff like that. It wasn't so much that they disowned me. It was that I had to walk away from them. And then when I tried to share with them the truth, you know, because the Lord pulled us away from the area, he gave us that 1,011 days to be there to show them the smiles instead of the frowns, which was a very difficult time for us, but we made it through that period. And when we finally got out of there, I still had a desire to reach out to them because of the love I have for them. And then I guess the last straw was that one Christmas season that I sent what now is like, I don't know, 40 pages if you print it out, but back then it was 12. And all the evidence that I had on Christmas being pagan. And then I was officially disowned and mimicked and mocked, and the letters started coming in and stuff like that. And so I know what it's like to walk away even from loved ones. And I'm not saying, you know, you walk away and you shun them. You can walk away from somebody in a cordial manner. You can walk away with love. You can just all of a sudden disappear. Because that's how I've always done it. I remember when I was growing up, even as a teenager, and somebody ripped me off or said something they shouldn't have said, and I found out about it. All of a sudden, a month or two later, they go, man, where's Nick? He ain't been around. Yeah, just suddenly I'd just disappear. You know, there's plenty of people out there I can make friends with, you know. I would just disappear. You know, it's not so much I didn't like confrontation. I just didn't like plastic people, I used to call them. You know, it's all a show. I says, come on, you got to be real. You know, it's just be who you are. What's wrong with that? I mean, but anyway, walking, yeah, that's hard. It is especially hard if they're siblings and parents too, or nieces and nephews and cousins and whatnot. And so I understand. We understand this firsthand, okay? But when someone leaves the church, and I'm not saying this is happening now because I don't, as far as I know, it ain't, you know, but I know it's going to happen in the future. Someone may leave our number again, and before they leave, they'll try to drag somebody out there, you know, because misery always loves company. Understand what you're doing. Okay, where do you think the latter rain is going to fall? Is it going to fall on two people that are, you know, constantly making bad comments about the church family? You think the latter rain is going to fall there? Or is it going to fall on the church family where the comments and slurs and persecution is being pointed towards? You know, because that's usually a pretty good sign that, you know, we're not we're peculiar people. We're not really going along with the status quo. You know, we're, you know, from day, I mean, come on, we're Seventh Day Remnant. We don't even do like the SDAs do, and they're peculiar all in their own right. And I give them credit for that because, you know, you got to have some courage and some wherewithal to be able to stand firm and claim the Seventh Day Sabbath in a world like today. But that's slowly, you know, they're chipping that away left and right. And most of them don't even know their churches are 501c3. They just think, no, no, our pastor's conservatives is really. Find out where he gets his paycheck from. Because he ain't getting it from your congregation. He's getting it from the General Conference, which the law says allows for group 501c3 contracts. They don't even have to sign anything other than their paycheck. They don't even have to know there's a 501c3. You know, they just have to be on the payroll. And the only way you can stay on the payroll is to echo that which is spoken from the GC, which is Allah is God, holy, and what is it? Yeah, Allah is God, homosexual marriage is okay, and women can be pastors, whatever. And some people say, well, they don't say that. I says, oh, well, okay, fine. We get pretty evidence they do, but, you know, some people, because they don't do their research, they just believe we're lying. And, you know. Anyway, we'll pick it up next week here. Let me shut this one down here. And, yeah, next week we'll pick it up at page 99. Yep, 99, paragraph 1, where it says that one's usefulness depends upon his surrender to the Holy Spirit. You know, so there's even stages here. So, I mean, the Lord can use the wicked as well as the just. I mean, the rain falls on the wicked as well as the just, right? We all know that. I mean, even before Nebuchadnezzar knew God, and even before he started, you know, chomping down on grass, before he said, oh, wow, after the 7 years were up. Even before all that, what did God use him for? He used him to spank the Israelites who were supposed to be the chosen people who were walking correctly. But no, they were walking in sin and apostasy. And so the Lord used a wicked ruler to take them out. So just because you see the Lord use your hand, or not use your hand, but use you in some cases, you still got to, you know, just because you have some blessings here or blessings there doesn't mean, I mean, take heed lest you fall. Doesn't mean you're guaranteed heaven just because of good works. It's because of obedience. And Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You acknowledge him and declare him as such. So if you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us on the Sabbath Eve. Please keep us safe as we go to sleep tonight, or those on the other side of the planet go into their Sabbath that are joining with us right now. And thank you so much for the truth that cuts our hearts and blesses us with utterance to share the truth that you give us onto those that need to hear it. Please water the seeds, or give the seeds increase. We know that we can plant and we could even water, but we know that you're the only one who can do the increase. Just like we see with the farmers out here. They're planting, they're watering, but you're the one pushing it up, you know, out of the soil. So thank you for that, even for them. Please bless us, Father, with the latter rain, as we pray for daily. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us, and thank you so much for the promises that are in your word. And we offer this prayer. Oh, and Father, all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned a little while ago in the text chat, thank you so much for blessing them where they need to be blessed. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, our King, and our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.